Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be with you here on this Monday afternoon. Glad to be back here. Or maybe it's a Monday evening, or maybe it's even a Tuesday morning where you are. It is Lent, so a very blessed Lent to you and all of yours. I hope that it's going well. We get that quick start of Lent there. Do a few days, then it's Sunday, and now we're into a full week of Lent this week. So second hour, actually, we're going to have a new affiliate here, an affiliate apologist here with us, Michael Lofton, and he's going to talk about Eastern Christianity. And so if you have questions about, especially with all that's going on in the East right now, lots of people have questions about Eastern Christianity, and Michael is an expert in that area and happy to take your questions. This hour for your continued kind of benefit during this Lenten period, we'll talk about penance. If you have questions about penance, 888-318-7884 in the Catholic Church. We have a sacrament that's sometimes called the sacrament of penance, but penance is much more than that. It involves a much wider part of life, and so we have Father Paul Cech here with us. He runs the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe up there in Wisconsin. Father Cech, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Cy. Actually, people have asked that to me before. They say, Father, are you the one who runs the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe? And I say, no, actually, the shrine runs me.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. I'm sorry about that, but that is how it works.
It's a vibrant place. There are many people here. There are many good things going on, and we're trying to attend all these good projects.
Our number is 888-318-7884. If you have questions about the practice of penance, the Christian practice of penance, particularly how we Catholics go about that, your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Why do we do penance, Father? Jesus saved us.
Sure. Well, look, that's a good place to start, isn't it? Jesus saves. Let's see if we can situate this discussion in the wider context of the gospel, because relating the parts to the whole is a very Catholic idea. And that way we get things in their proper proportion, we give them the right weight, and we understand them in light of, well, what you just said, the resurrection and the love of Christ for us, the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. We have been taken up into a love story. And the love story is the love of God for his creation and the love of God for the creatures that he has made in his image and likeness, and whom he considers to be not only creatures, but sons and daughters. And so the love story that we have been invited into and brought into, and in fact, the story is in the very design of our being, takes a tremendous step forward when Jesus Christ comes into the world, God incarnate, the person of Christ bringing the fullness of the Godhead to us and all that God is in truth and goodness and beauty. So that love story that we've been invited into, that we are part of and takes this big step in Christ Jesus, has as its backdrop creation and man's rebellion against his creator. In other words, the givenness of our circumstance that God has written a story into us was a source of difficulty. Worse than that, it became the occasion of the first sin when our first parents said, we don't want to be your children. We don't want you to be our father. Yeah. I know those words are not in sacred scripture, but that's the effect that original sin had. And because of that terrible breach, visited now into all of mankind was the burden of original sin and concupiscence. Christ restores the bond in his own love for the Father. However, there is still the consideration that we are complicit in some manner in that break. Even though it happened before we were here, each time we sin, we multiply the sadness and the suffering that goes along with saying to God, no. And because of that, when Christ comes into the world, what's the very first thing he tells us to do? To repent or to do penance and reorient your life, redirect your life now back to God, resume the love story, be faithful, but there is still this residue of sin that we have to attend to. So that's a context. Does that help a little bit, Si?
It does, yeah. I think some might look at us Catholics and say, but you've kind of turned this idea of penance into something that looks very rote, I suppose, in a way. You know, well, you know, everybody does their thing at Lent, and you,
sure.
You know, so what's the answer to that?
Well, they could be right.
Oh.
And I think that's something we're going to get to today, because it's not so much what we're doing, but why we're doing it and how we're doing it that's decisive. It's true. We could be doing things in a formulaic way, in a superficial way, and that would be to our detriment. But let's look at it this way. We started with the love story. Here are the six most important words, or the two most important sentences in the English language. I love you. I am sorry. I think those are the most important things we can say.
Yeah.
And we have to say both, don't we? Because, right. Well, in the second case, we're sinners. So I am sorry, and everything that goes along with penance, because penance and sorrow for sin are part of the same thing, they fit into the love story. If I've offended someone whom I love and who I know loves me, if I'm saying to them, I'm sorry, it's another way of saying I love you. And therefore, it shouldn't be rote or superficial. It should come from the heart, which is really what Christ was encouraging when he says, repent and believe the good news.
888-318-7884. We're talking penance with Father Paul Cech this afternoon. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I suppose the other side of this, you know, it's just rote, this Catholic stuff, is the person who... And this may be all of us at some point, I don't know, who is either excessive in their penances or feels that none of their penances are adequate.
Well, and we could certainly take those cases up. But while Lent is a penitential season, the purpose of Lent is to intensify the commitment of my heart to Christ and response to the love that he has offered to me. That's what the penance is directed towards. So here's something that I offered to the people last week at the beginning of Lent to encourage them with regard to their Lenten practices. Because as time wears on, in the 40 days, we get fatigued and some of our resolutions start to fray a little bit around the edges. What's going to help us? And I mentioned two things. The first is to reflect on the true nature of sin. Sin is not just the hurt it causes, and sin is actually more than harm. Sin is violence. That's what sin is. Sin does violence. It does violence to the soul that commits it, first of all. It is an abuse of freedom that then someone else's soul and person will feel in different ways. And so that's an act of violence. And then it's violence to the God-man. It's violence to Jesus Christ in his passion. And so if we think about sin in this way, we deepen the horror that we have for it. And that's why the church presents to us the meditation on the passion of Christ during Lent in the Stations of the Cross, for instance, or in just the reading of the Passion, and then, of course, at Holy Week itself. So the idea of sin as violence is something that's important to us. It leads us to the meditation on the Passion, so that we don't treat sin lightly. What did St. John Paul II say? The sin of the century is the loss of the sense of sin.
Yeah.
So that tells us something about our need to recalibrate with regard to what sin actually is. And then the second piece is, what kind of love is it that allowed itself to be pinned to the cross?
Yes.
What kind of love was it that endured the humiliation of the temptations, which we've just heard in the gospel, of the temptations by sin, because that was a humiliation. What was it that, what kind of love was it that said yes to all the indignities, all the pain, all the suffering, not just the physical suffering, the corporeal suffering, very real, but as Newman discussed, the mental anguish and the sufferings of Christ in his soul. What kind of love is this? And that is really what our Lenten practices are devoted to, the horror and the violence of sin, and a reflection on what kind of love would make this sacrifice for us. Why would it do that?
888-318-7884. We're going to come, we're going to take a quick break to get started here, and then we will come back and let folks have their questions for Father. There are a few lines open. We'll start with Matthew in Alabama when we come back. 888-318-7884. We're talking about penance from the Catholic perspective. You don't have to be Catholic to call. If you have a question about penance and about the Catholic practice or just about the Catholic theology of being a penitent, please do call. 888-318-7884. But I, when we come back, Father, I have a question for you that I want to ask you. Then I'll go to the lines. And that has to do with once you begin on this road of penance for sin, why do you become more sensitive to sin? Like suddenly you become, oh my gosh, there's more that I should be attending to. I thought I had this and this to work on, but now I see this and this and this and this.
Yeah,
so
you go.
We'll talk about that there, when we come back. Okay.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I think EWTN News Nightly is beneficial in a number of ways. Not only do we provide the news of the day, but also thoughtful analysis on important issues. And it's all viewed from the lens of a Catholic perspective, something you will not find in mainstream media.
EWTN News Nightly with Tracy Sable, tonight, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Maybe you have a difficulty with the idea of penance. Maybe you'd just like to be better at it or better understand what it is that we're doing when we're doing penance. This is the penitential. This is the primary penitential season of the Church, that being the Lenten season. And your calls are welcome for Father Paul Cech, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All right, so this is the dynamic that I notice, that the more you kind of do penance for sin, the more you realize, oh my gosh, there's a lot more of it here than I thought there was. And it can be a little disheartening, actually.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And why is it a good thing? Because one of the laws of the spiritual life is that we progress in our love of God and our closeness to Him to the degree that we grow in self-knowledge. So self-knowledge is not simply an inventory of my faults or the confession of my sins, an examination of conscience. It's more profound than that, because self-knowledge includes all of the good that God has put into me and the graces that He has given to me and my gratitude to Him for the life that I live in Him. But to make progress in the spiritual life means I have to be honest. I have to be forthright. Sometimes I have to even be brutally so to come to terms with aspects of my life that could be very difficult to understand or to accept. But if we think of it in this analogy, if I go to the doctor and I just say, well, I'm not feeling very well today, and just leave it at that, he's not going to know what to do for me. I need to do a kind of inventory and say, well, this is the symptoms, here's where they start, and this is what it feels like, and this makes it worse or this makes it better, and then he knows what to do for me. Now, St. Thomas tells us that every analogy has greater dissimilarity than similarity, so it does break down at a point. The divine physician already knows all my ailments, and in that sense, he doesn't need me to diagnose myself.
Right.
But I do. I need the honesty. I need the forthrightness. I need to say, Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Cleanse me from my sins. One of the lines in the Psalms is, deliver me from unknown faults.
Yes, right.
Such an important line. Deliver me, because I won't make progress in virtue if, for some reason, I'm not attentive to to where I need God's grace. So does that help answer the question?
It does, and it makes me realize that I'm a very helpful person because I help other people see their unknown faults. I point them out. So that's my
charity.
What's that?
That's a charity that you perform during Lent.
Yeah, it's not always welcome. I said I'd go to Matthew in Alabama. Let's go to Matthew in Alabama, listening on EWTN Radio. Matthew, we're very glad you're here. Topic is penance. Our guest is Father Paul Cech, and you are first up. Matthew, go ahead with your question.
Okay, hello, Father Cech. Can you hear me?
Matthew from Alabama, yes. Great to hear you. God bless you.
Hey, God bless. Thank you so much. So I remember reading somewhere that in Orthodox churches, bishops and priests will sometimes deputize lay people to hear confessions like among one another. And I was curious because I know Catholics with other sacraments, you know, bishops and priests will deputize certain members of the clergy or laity for other reasons. So I was curious to know what's the Catholic stance on that and if that ever happens in Catholicism.
Right. Well, maybe the guest in the second hour can address that better than I can, but in the certainly in the Latin Rite, but really in Catholicism in general, we think about the priesthood of the baptized, the universal priesthood into which we're all incorporated by virtue of baptism, and then we think of the ministerial priesthood. And the functions of the ministerial priesthood are not just a difference in degree, they're a difference in kind, which means that the administration of the sacraments, and here I'm thinking particularly of the Eucharist and the forgiveness of sins, cannot be passed to a member of the laity. They can't be deputized, to use the word that you used, because they are dependent upon the ontological change, the change in the soul of the priest at the moment of holy orders when he is ordained a priest. It is only at that moment that his soul is reconfigured, reshaped, if you like, according to Christ the High Priest. And now he has the sacred potestas, the power to be able to confect the Eucharist and to forgive sins. And that those things cannot be delegated to the laity. Now, there are other practices, and I don't think this was exactly what you're referring to, but say in religious communities where they do something called the Chapter of Faults, where in as an exercise of humility, the member of the religious community will come forward and say, these are the things that I did this past week for which I'm sorry. And there is that's actually a very beautiful exercise of humility, and it acknowledges that my sins touch the community. But in that setting, no sacramental absolution is given, and it can't be. And of course, it's not the form for confession. So I hope that helps a little bit. But strictly speaking, no, it's not possible for a priest to pass on the capacity to be able to forgive sins in the sacramental sense.
Matthew, thank you very much. Appreciate that. We've got two lines open right now, so if you want to get in, you are welcome to call. We will work our way through the callers we have with us, 888-318-7884, the number. Catholics and Christians around the world are undertaking a season of penance now. At least the vast majority are undertaking a season of penance in preparation for the commemoration of Christ's death and resurrection, that season we call Lent. And if you've got questions about penance, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go to Jefferson City, Missouri. Hannah in Jefferson City, listening on 88.1 FM. You are next, Hannah. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi. I had a question about a priest that I've gone to for confession who has given me penances that either he asks like what I think my penance should be, and then also penances where there's no end date. So, for example, I once was given a penance to start praying for 10 minutes every day. Mm. But like, how does that affect my absolution and I guess going about of completing that penance per se?
Okay, a good question. And Hannah, thank you for asking it, because sometimes in the confessional, the priest will have what he thinks is an appropriate penance or an idea that fits a particular circumstance or penitent. But given the brevity of the encounter and the fact that he doesn't really know all the circumstances, may mean that his good idea leaves you under a burden, which is perhaps what I'm hearing. You should know, and all our listeners should know, that a penitent always has the right to say to Father, could you give me another penance? Could you give me something else? I'm not sure I could do that, or I didn't understand it, or I'm concerned that I would be able to complete it. So it's a fair thing for the penitent to say, could you, to the priest, could you give me something else to do? And also, if that doesn't work, the penitent can actually, in another confession, go to another priest and say, this is what happened in my last confession, and I wasn't able to complete the penance, or I didn't understand it. Could you give me another penance? And he can take care of that there. What I've done on a couple of occasions is I've tried to match a penance to a person, but I've always said, can you do that? Or do you understand? Does it make sense to you that, for instance, during Lent, you could read one of the four gospel accounts of the Passion when you go home tonight, over the course of the next 2 or 3 days? Is that something you can do? So I think it's fair for the priest to ask that, and it's fair for you to say, well, yes, I could do that, and that it has an end date, and I know I have a couple of days to do it. One of the reasons why a priest will say, give a certain amount of time and not make the person feel like they just have to walk out and complete the penance is, we don't want to trivialize a penance. So let's think about someone who comes to confession after 20 years, and there, it's a substantial confession. And so as not to minimize the gravity as well as the good of what's happened, a priest would not want to say, well, just a decade of the rosary, especially if there have been, as there often are in a confession of that type, a number of mortal sins. But even so, there he should say, all right, if you are going to be reading the Gospel of Mark, can you do that over the course of the next 2 weeks, something like that? And so the penance could extend out. Or he could say, can you go to daily mass for the next week or something of that kind? So that's why he might do that. But I think you're right to say, Hannah, for your own peace of mind, you want to make sure you understand the penance. And if you feel like you can't choose something that's appropriate, you ask the priest to say, Father, could I say a decade of the rosary, given the circumstances, or a full rosary, depending on maybe what it is, or could I read a section of sacred scripture, something like that. And I agree with you that saying pray 10 minutes a day indefinitely creates a difficulty. I think there does need to be a terminus. And I think that's a very fair thing for you to ask. In the case where you've described, no, it wouldn't invalidate the absolution because in good faith, you were trying to carry it out. So the confession would be valid. If you did have a concern, you could bring it to another priest when you go to confession again, and he could address it for you. Does that help?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. I appreciate that call and that question. We're talking penance today with Father Paul Check. You are welcome to call 888-318-7884 with your questions about penance. Not just the sacrament of penance, but the whole penitential life. I'm sorry, Father, would you say that again?
The practice of penance more widely, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It always seems to me, too, that... you know, you see these like the Children at Fatima or one of these, you know, church approved kind of apparitions. And there's always a call to penance. Like you never get that stuff without some kind of call to penance. Why is that?
Well, certainly one reason is we have to atone for sins. But another is so we can detach from this world a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
And that detachment is preparatory for, or intended to be preparatory for, aiding in the love story and being more alert to supernatural realities. But if I'm living just a life of the senses and a life of comfort, that deadens that spiritual sense. So the purpose of penance there, to make the sacrifices, helps me to become more alert to what is happening in the world of grace. And by the way, let's clarify that if someone says, well, Father, this is what I'm going to give up for Lent. I'm going to stop cursing, screaming, yelling, using bad words, lying, and stealing. That's all good. You should stop doing those things, but those aren't penances. Those are not sacrifices. Okay? Those are called sins, and it's best just to stop them and confess them. But we don't get any merit, particularly, from stopping sinning. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
people
do
say that.
But that's...
Oh, I'm going to... screaming and yelling and using four-letter words. Well,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But
right. Yeah, but that's the thing about penance is that, which I think is confusing to many people, is that it is the giving up of a good. And you often hear the critique, well, God wants you to have that. That's why God gave you. God wants you to enjoy chocolate or whatever.
Newman takes this up where he says, the world has many things to enjoy, and I'm fitted to enjoy them. So now what? The problem, of course, is that we often lose our balance. We're enjoying things, and we don't enjoy things in the right measure, in the right order, and we can become too beholden of things, and then that spiritual sense is dead.
All right. Teresa in Philadelphia, I'm coming to you next, and I'll get to every other caller as well when we come back. We're talking penance. Our guest is Father Paul Check. Our number, 888-318-7884.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Share it with us tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. Hey, if you ask an atheist or agnostic who Bart Ehrman is, chances are they will know right away. Chances are that many have used his arguments to back down unprepared Christians. How will Jimmy Akin respond to this? Because they've got a debate coming up. Jimmy and Dr. Bart Ehrman will be debating this point. Are the Gospels historically reliable? You can attend in person or watch the live stream on YouTube. Visit catholic.com/debate for more information. This is a big one. catholic.com/debate for more information. Our number again is 888-318-7884. If you have a question about penance, about the life of penance, the practice of penance, the theology behind the penance that we do as Catholics, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Father Paul Check is our guest, and first up, this segment is Teresa from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Spirit Radio. Hello, Teresa.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Well, now that I've been listening more, this is more about forgiveness than penance, but it's about a sin that I've committed that's very grave. Way back, and I've been to confession. I confessed it, and but I know God forgave me because He always forgives. But I feel I still feel bad about it, and I don't. Sometimes I don't think I've forgiven myself. So, and I still feel really bad about it. So how do I? I mean, is that normal or natural for that to be?
Teresa, I'm so happy that you called and that you asked that question, and I admire your courage and humility in bringing it forward in a public forum like this. I think the first thing I'd like to suggest to you is that you open up your Bible, go to Luke chapter 7, and look at a section of the gospel that I'm sure you're familiar with, and it's a remarkable testimony to the goodness of God. It's the story of the woman in the home of Simon the Pharisee. So just to remember the story, Christ comes in to the home, and the guest and the host does not attend to him, but the woman, the penitent woman, comes to him and bathes his feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair. And this is a bit of a scandal, a Pharisaic scandal, scandal of the wrong kind, to the people who were there, because they say, if he knew who she was, he would not allow this to happen. Now, of course, he does know exactly who she is, and he certainly wills that it happens. And he uses the occasion to teach us two very important points. The first is, the soul that loves Christ much will be forgiven much. And the second lesson is, the soul that has been forgiven much will love Christ much. So those two things sound similar, and they are, but they're actually converse statements, but they do go together. In this case, she who has loved much has been forgiven much, and she who has been forgiven much loves much. Now, you might say, well, there's a circle there, Father, and how do you break into that? And the answer is, of course, grace makes it possible for us to feel the contrition necessary to begin the desire for forgiveness and then to fuel the love that we have for the person of God in Christ who has forgiven us. So what I would say to you, Teresa, is let that be a very strong grace for you, this example of how Christ treated the penitent woman. We don't know what her sin was, and it doesn't matter. It was grave, it was serious, and that's enough. And his response to her, she humiliated herself. She acted this way with courage in public. And he receives her beautifully. And then when Simon says, what's happening here, the Lord says, here's your spiritual lesson. Now, to your particular questions, it's not uncommon that this would happen, that someone who has confessed a serious sin would many years later still feel a sensitivity. But that can be turned to a good, not in the sense of uncertainty about the goodness of God or the forgiveness, but rather going deeper into the love story as this woman did, who may have been Mary Magdalene. We don't know for sure. She's mentioned in chapter 8 right at the beginning, so that some people think that's who she is. But in any case, that sensitivity in the heart is a good thing. And it continues to bring you back to the foot of the cross in contrition and in love. I think it's a very difficult concept, the question of forgiving self. I don't know that we can actually do that. But what we can do is surrender things, even our feelings, even our uncertainty. We can surrender things at the cross. We can just say, Lord, this is too heavy for me. I'm uncertain where it is in my heart, but I know I feel it, and I'm just going to put it in your hands. So think in terms of surrender. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit, which, of course, our Lord's last words. So I hope that helps a little bit, but I'm very happy that you called. It's a very important question.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay.
We're talking penance. Father Paul Cech is our guest. You're welcome to call if you have questions about penance. 888-318-7884. Sarah in Louisiana, you are up next. Sarah watching on YouTube. Glad to have you, Sarah. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, Father. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I was calling to ask, so my local priest comes out to my house once a month to bring communion because I'm bed bound. And when he does, I always ask to go to
Could you? I'm just having trouble hearing, but I don't know, Father, can you hear the question?
I heard it so far, yes.
Oh, you did? Okay. I'm just having a headphone problem today. I'm so sorry to have interrupted you, Sarah. Please continue.
Oh, that's okay. So my priest comes out once a month to bring communion because I'm mostly bedbound. And when he does, I'm always asked to go to confession. And so my question is, if I have a sin in between the times that he comes, and I'm truly repentant and say the act of contrition, but I have to wait a whole month to go to confession, am I forgiven at that point or not until he comes back?
Yeah. So it's a good question. Depends on the type of sin. If it's a venial sin, then your act of contrition should suffice. If it's a mortal sin, then a perfect act of love and a perfect act of contrition can remit it. That's a high standard. It means that there's sorrow for sin, not for fear of loss or punishment, but for the love of God. It's achievable, but it's a high bar, which is why we have the sacrament of penance itself. But God wouldn't hold you accountable or responsible for something that you can't do, which is absolve yourself. And if the priest is only able to come once a month, you make the act of contrition, that should be sufficient. And then for peace of mind and heart and the good of your conscience, when the priest comes, you go to confession.
Okay, thank you so much.
That help?
Oh, thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much for that call.
Thank you so much.
The number is 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Our guest is Father Paul Check and Frank from Lake Wylie. You only got about 22 minutes left to call while Father's here. 888-318-7884. We're talking about penance. We have to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. If you're on the line, just hang on. We're going to come back to you. And if you have not called yet, but you have a question about penance, whether you're Catholic or not, you can – we got to – couple lines open and we'll get to you before the top of the hour. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
This is Dr. Ray Guarendi from The Doctor Is In. You call in, and we will talk about what matters to you in your life. We can put our heads together to help you solve the problems of life and to use your faith to get even smarter.
The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Tomorrow afternoon, 1 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live on this Monday afternoon, or maybe Monday evening, or maybe even Tuesday morning, where you are. We're very happy that you take the time to be with us. Thank you very much for being with us. Second hour, with all that's going on in the East, where the Eastern churches are, especially in the country of Ukraine, where there are quite a few different churches and faith communities rub up against one another there in the country of Ukraine. We thought maybe you have questions about Eastern Christianity, and so we got an expert to come in. Michael Lofton will be with us the next hour, and if you have questions about Eastern Christianity, you want to know about Orthodoxy, but maybe you want to know about some of the churches that are in union with the Church in Rome but are of the East, like the Byzantine Catholic or Maronite Rite or any others, we'll talk about Christianity in the East next hour. This hour, we're talking about penance. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Often, Father, just as an aside, given what the two things I just said, often the Christians of the East have a reputation for being a bit tougher about the penance than we are. That we can,
yes.
We're a little, I don't know, so we Catholics joke about it sometimes, but we don't even know like how to fast. We have to look it up in a book. Like it's like,
yeah.
And it's not real fasting. It's like do two small meals and one large meal and what I don't know. I think I'm fasting right now just by I don't know because it's so yes. easy.
No, it's a fair point. I'm glad you've raised it because we probably don't do enough. And that's why we need the meditation on the Passion because yeah. the Lord did everything.
All right. Very good. Jim in Paso Robles, California, listening to EWTN. Paso Robles. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. People in the Southern California say Paso Robles, and people in the North say Paso Robles. And I'm guessing Jim says Paso Robles. Listening to EWTN, Channel 130, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio. Jim, go ahead with your question for Father.
Sure. Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Hello?
Okay, Jim?
Hello?
Yeah. Okay. Just as a sidelight, I'm a Byzantine Catholic.
Oh.
That has nothing to do with my question, however.
But you might want to listen to the next hour, see if we get it right.
Oh, I definitely will listen to the next hour. And you're right about that. We do have – things are a little bit more little bit more difficult. Yeah.
Did you say manly, Father?
Anyway.
Manly, yes, or demanding.
Oh, demanding. I thought you said manly. All right, Jim, I'm sorry. We've been interrupting you. Go ahead with your question for Father.
I got to ask this. I'm probably just looking for loopholes, but I'm going to ask this question. I had just come back within 2 days of a confession, my first in quite a while. And my wife of 47 years, who had been gone for a week or so, came home. And when she comes home, she's difficult to deal with. And but I was very, because of the confession and everything and the way that things seemed to be moving, I was very patient and I did things well. And then towards the end of the evening, she pushed the button and I snapped and I yelled at her. I was very angry. I swore at her and I felt terrible later. But I'm wondering, was that a mortal sin? I didn't think about it. I mean, it was mm-hmm. there's no premeditation whatever. So I'm wondering, does it qualify as a mortal sin?
Well, it's your mind up, Jim, and God bless your humility in bringing that forward. And I think for peace of mind, it would be good to go to confession again and have another good spiritual experience, which I trust you did the last time. The Catechism of the Catholic Church specifies for us where grave matter is to be found. And in order for a mortal sin to be committed, the fabric, so to speak, out of which the sin is made is called grave matter. So that means a serious breach of one of the commandments. We have to consent to it. We have sufficient freedom to be able to choose what we're doing. And then we have to know that it's serious, which obviously applies here. So I would say with regard to harsh words of that kind, and given what sounds like the intensity of your reaction and your anger, that could definitely cross the line. So for spiritual safety's sake, I think it'd be good, and you'll feel more peaceful, and you'll get a good penance.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, I'll be going next week again. Yeah, I kind of figured that was what it was. But
good for you. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you so much, Jim. The number is 888-318-7884, but now lines, this happens sometimes, Father, or the lines all fill up just with when there's 10 minutes left in the hour. So we'll try to get to everybody.
That's a good host.
Yeah. Well, I should just start the show 15 minutes earlier, I guess. Joe in Richland, Washington, listening on 100.7 FM. We're happy to have you, Joe. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi. And I probably should have said anonymous, but I'm a little old lady, and I am a prayer mom at my church, which we listen to the children's prayers when they're getting ready to do their first communion, when they're learning, you know, the six or seven prayers like the Creed and the Ten Commandments and stuff before they have their first communion. Well, we have a new preacher, and he's a young man, and I was a 60s girl, and I have done several grievous things when I was younger, you know, mortal sins that I have confessed and feel somewhat forgiven for. I haven't forgiven myself, and I feel I'm always wondering if it's a sin not to really trust that God's forgiven me. But my question is that this young priest looked at me. I'm a little old lady. I have a little bun on my head, and he just thinks I work with the little kids. And I said, I have committed adultery several times. And he looked at me, and he said, do you know what adultery is?
Oh, well. Said, well, that was
yes,
a little.
Yes, I do.
Well, he had to make sure.
He only knows me as this sweet little old lady. And I feel like I look around church and see all these beautiful young people and even old people and think, these people probably have never done things that I've done. And how can I possibly be forgiven?
Oh.
It's just, and I'm wondering if it's a sin to wonder if I can be, you know.
Okay, Father?
Well, to have some unsteadiness in face of the mercy of God, I think, is not uncommon and not a bad thing, because it's so marvelous that it goes beyond our capacity to believe that in his goodness, God would not only forgive our sins, but he would bear the punishment within himself. That's what we were thinking about before with respect to the fact that sin is violence. So I think approaching the mystery of this with reverence and saying, how can this be, could be meritorious. To have a firm and steadfast doubt about the mercy of God would be another matter. That doesn't sound to me, Joe, like what you're, what you experience or what you are feeling. I think it's more in the category of, how can God be this good to me? And if that's where we let the meditation rest and then we start to move forward, understanding the goodness of God, then he will reassure you. So it is marvelous. It's mysterious. It is it's big for our imaginations to grasp. But the Lord will help you see. And there's many sections in the gospel where it's very clear that the Lord is content when people come forward, as you did in confession, and ask for his mercy. So read John 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and that will be a good meditation for you. I commend it to you.
Seems like the older I get, and I'm going to an RCI class so I can answer some of these kids' questions. They're just amazing, especially the second and third graders. I had a little fifth grade boy ask me the other day, why do we have to pray? God's there. He knows everything. Why do we have to pray? So I'm hoping my RCI
friends?
Classes will help me get some of those answers.
Good. Yeah. Well, why do we talk to our friends? Because they're our friends. And we speak with people because we want to share things that are in our heart, and we want to hear what's in their heart.
Yeah.
It's a very human thing.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks very much. I'm going to try to get to everybody if I can here. Ryan
sure.
in Pennsylvania is next, listening on Catholic.com. Ryan, go ahead with your question for Father.
Super. Thanks for taking my question. So my question regards my father, who is in his mid-70s. He's been away from the church for a long, long, long time, and he's been sort of coming back recently in fits and starts. But the problem is that he goes right up there and receives communion, and I know a lot about him, and I know that he's not been to confession and to reach that state of grace to be in full communion. He's also remarried outside the church, which I know is sacramentally a problem. And so I'm curious, Father, of your view on the best way to approach someone, because what I don't want to do is sort of create bad will and turn him off that do more harm than good. But yet I also feel like I should be doing or saying something to set him on a different path.
Well, I commend you, Ryan, for wanting to do that, because it's the truth that sets us free. And part of your dad's story now is he needs to learn more of the truth. Does he read? Would he read something that you had given to him?
Honestly, Father, probably not.
Okay. Well, then it'll be necessary to do it more in conversation. And I might start with why he has come back to Mass. and what it is that he desires from going to Mass. And then I might start exploring, not by way of particular things, but saying one of the beautiful things about the Catholic faith is the gift of the mercy and the forgiveness of God, unmerited. We don't deserve it. We can't claim it. But it relieves the terrible weight and burden on the conscience, because this is actually, Augustine said, this is the greatest burden that we carry in this life is the burden of sin, and that the Church has a remedy for that, of course, in the sacrament of penance. So I might try to lead him, and it may not all be in one discussion. And you're right about the marriage, and that's something that a priest would have to take care of. And if and when your father finally goes to confession, what's appropriate for him to do is to announce his state in life to the priest and say, I'm a married man. And the priest should say, were you married in the Catholic Church? Or he would say, well, I was married outside the Church. And then the priest can give him counsel from there. But I would say engage him in discussion, see why he's returned, what he hopes to gain, and then the question of lifting the burden of sin and the burden of guilt from his conscience. How does that sound?
That sounds great. It's very helpful. Thanks for your time, Father.
Persevere. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Going now to elsewhere in Pennsylvania, Lisa in Pennsylvania, listening on EWTN Radio. Lisa, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question for Father Paul Check.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I have a question. I heard a priest with his daily offering to pray to the Lord for to receive his penance here on earth. So is it possible, certainly we can pray to God to receive our penance, but does it remit then penance from purgatory? Are we able to receive it here and then not purgatory?
Yes, you're talking about remitting the punishment for sin. That we incur and that lasts even after sacramental absolution. The answer to that is yes, and that's why the Church has indulgences. That's a larger topic, and of course it has a historical context that can make it confusing for some people. But the gift of the indulgence is from the cross, our Lord gained all of the graces that we need for salvation, but also to remit the punishments that are attached to sin. If we do certain things that show our commitment to wanting that punishment remitted. So there are certain practices, like the praying of the public of the rosary publicly in a group is one of them. But your parish priest would be able to give you some specific help with indulgences so that, yes, purgatory could be avoided, which would be optimal.
Okay, Lisa.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I think we're going to get to everybody, but Frank in Illinois, listening on EWTN Radio, you are going to have to be very quick if you would like an answer from Father.
Real quick, like Father, yours is sin, and in particular, I was embarrassed to admit to, but I did say with all my heart, dear Father, I've broken all of our Lord's commandments. Would that be sufficient?
It's a good first step, Frank, but no, it wouldn't be sufficient because mortal sins have to be confessed according to number and kind. And one of the reasons for that is it means that we are taking responsibility in an adult way, in a manly way, in this case, for what we've done. And by claiming that, it takes responsibility. It also helps to break the power that the sin has over us. So mortal sins have to be confessed according to number and kind.
Even if one, okay, thank you, Father. Even if I was granted absolution, it would not make a difference then?
Well, the priest, I think, should have been more careful, if I can say it that way, in helping you examine your conscience to make sure that there were no mortal sins. So I would find another priest that you can go to, prepare, and you'll feel a lot better, believe me, when you've made that full confession.
I hope that that's helpful to you. Thanks very, very much. I imagine that embarrassment is part of lots and lots of our confessions, because the things you're confessing are, these are the things you just don't want to share with anybody else. It's hard to do.
Which is why, of course, the forum is the way it is.
Yeah.
To protect.
And it, right. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse, St. Juan Diego, and St. Felicity of Perpetua, who sits with us today, and St. Thomas Aquinas in the old calendar. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Paul Cech. If you want to know more about what he does, look up the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Right back after this.